This is Will's Band of the Week for September 27th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on again, Will. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so the correspondents have been completely saving the podcast, because every week I find one or two people who are available and have listened to things, and everybody is still, I guess it's good that everybody's busy, right? It could be worse, and we could all be just like sitting in quarantine, doing nothing, and being too available, right?
Right, exactly. That would be really sad if we're just biding our time and hoping that Oprah was back on the air or something. But no, it seems like we're all pretty busy. So that's been good, but also kind of a challenge with getting on the pod. So
yeah,
kind of depends.
And the music, man, the releases are starting to just go totally crazy now, right? I think I read somewhere that last week was like the biggest release date of the year or something. Or maybe it was just somebody's opinion because so many things came out. But there's been a lot that's come out recently. So we'll be visiting. I mean, there's some indie rock veterans have put out stuff. And also some good new stuff. So there's a lot to choose from. So we'll be, probably have a few weeks of music built up to talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, just last Friday, there was so much stuff came out. It's like I didn't really have time to get anything prepared for the pod. So,
and that's without even,
yeah, it gives us some good grist for the mill in the next few weeks.
That's without even accounting for, you know, you coming up with stuff that I've never heard, like the interview we have coming up, which is awesome, and Anurag's always coming up with stuff that I haven't heard or heard of. So everybody's doing that. So it's great.
Yeah, it's really fun. That's what's great about having the collective. It's just everyone's pulling in different stuff and new things and different types and genres of music. So yeah, it's been fun. And you're introducing me to, I really didn't know about much about Tobin Sprout. So that's been, and well, two new bands this week that I didn't know about. So
cool.
Thanks. Yeah,
that's good.
It's fun.
So yeah, we were both sort of cramming for to listen to the things we were going to talk about. So we didn't prepare any special features or anything like that. You know what I should mention though? This could be kind of fun. There's a movie that looks really cool that David told us about just last night, and I'm definitely going to watch it. I have not watched it yet, so people should watch. Maybe consider watching the documentary called Dennis and Lois. After David mentioned it, I watched the trailer, and when the trailer features Peter Hook from New Order, that means I'm in it in for sure, since he's like one of my favorite performers. So I think it's on Amazon. I'm not sure if it's anywhere else, but anyway, I thought maybe a bunch of people can watch that, and then when we talk about it, there will be some context to it, right? So that's your assignment. Listener's assignment is to watch Dennis and Lois. It seems
exactly,
to be about a couple of now like aging rockers like us who just love going to see bands, and that's basically what it's about. And, of course, they're cool
nice
bands, and they have good taste.
And they got Peter Hook on there, right?
Right.
Have you heard any of his... actually, he's on that new Gorillaz album. Have you heard that song?
I think I heard the song. It was like, oh yeah, there's a Peter Hook bass line. Oh, that sounds
right,
like
exactly.
Peter Hook. Yeah, yeah.
It's the 80s.
But it was just funny because David told us about this. And so my wife and I had just watched something else last night. And I said, well, why don't we just watch the trailer for this? And it's like a minute 45 long or something. So I put it on. And it's like, hey, that's Peter Hook. Just
right.
came on, you know, it's just great. So Peter Hook got me hooked. So
nice.
That's a little preview.
Check it out.
I can only imagine that Chris is building up all kinds of great things to talk about for the next time he's on the podcast. So we'll just leave it at that. And yeah, so lots of fun coming up. Anything else that we should be discussing? There haven't been any like major deaths, which is good. The Rockers have hung on for another week.
Yeah, I don't know if there's been any big kind of music news necessarily besides just new stuff coming out.
And, right.
You know, hopefully, seems like in some places they're starting to book live shows, but I don't know if they're really going to happen. There's like Fontaines right. is supposed to play in November outside of London, but do you think
that
would
I don't see that ever.
That
seems
know.
No way. It seems like.
Right.
It seems like the earliest realistic.
Showing, like in Europe, some shows are happening. I think like the Milanas played, I think last night, but it looked like maybe there wasn't much audience. So I don't know if maybe it was like a live stream show with just like 30 people or something.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how they did it, but on Twitter I noticed that. So I wonder how people are doing this stuff safely, but good yeah. ventilation systems, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Keep your mask on.
Oh, it's just, you know, that's the terrible thing about it is that it seems like the most dangerous and contagious thing is crowds of people who don't have masks on. And I think, you know, even like live music in a bar, I mean, you're not going to have everybody wearing a mask, especially if they're going to be drinking a beer or something, right? So
right, exactly.
It's really hard to get the live music back going until we have the whole thing really under control. So, you know.
Seems like you could do outdoor shows. You know, I know we're going into the
right,
winter.
Right, that's true.
If you just said, like, it's a deal, like, okay, you're only get within 6 feet of the people that you're living with or came with, like your pod or whatever, you know, you came with in your car.
Yeah.
We're doing the drive-in shows here, the local promoter, and so it's kind of like every other parking space, so the cars are about, or maybe it's three, I think there's two empty spaces, cars are about 12 or 15 feet apart, and then you have to wear your mask if you go up to the food carts or and then stand in line, so you know, mm-hmm. for the bathrooms and stuff like that, like 6 feet apart. And so far so good with it. We'll see how it goes, but you know, you're kind of far from the stage a little bit, but they have like a jumbotron, like a screen. So you can kind of see the artist a little better. But,
well, I'm glad they're using creative methods. Like any ideas should be, you know, any idea is a good idea, right? You just got to be as creative as possible until we can get back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. I mean, gosh, if there's any kind of silver linings, it's been making us rethink things and be more creative in how we go about life, I guess. You know, gosh.
Yep. Well, let's talk about the Tobin Sprout album. And this is yet another artist who we were going to see at South by Southwest. So we can just keep talking about how sad it is it didn't happen. It would have been great. By the way, didn't they just announce sort of a digital South by Southwest or something? They haven't really said they haven't said definitively that there will be nothing in person next year, but they're basically setting it up to be sort of a digital, you know, whatever, remote event. So, you know, I
haven't looked at those emails enough to see if it's, is it including music or is it mostly the educational part? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think they were kind of they were non-committal on the music part. So it would surprise me if they have an in-person music event in 2021. I mean, it'd be cool if we had everything under control to that extent by then. But when you think about how much planning has to go into it, you've got to be booking everybody. Maybe they could get a lot of planning done if they started like in January and they'd have 2 months, but I can't imagine it's going to be ready to be, that they could commit to it, right?
Right, yeah. And if there's actually going to be like a vaccine by, you know, the first of the year or something.
Right.
Enough for, you know, half the population at least, or something. That seems
right.
kind of unlikely, but
right.
But we'll see. I know. Yeah, hopefully they can hang on. I have a friend of a friend, or a friend was in town just recently from Austin, and we were talking, and socially distanced, of course. And he has a friend that's on the board of directors or whatever, the board of advisors or something at South By. And he said, yeah, they're just completely broke after last year and trying to figure out how to make it. He's like, it might, you know, it's not going to be the same, but they're trying to pull something back together.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's almost like they'd have to build it back from square one, right? It would just, who knows?
I mean, at least they have the name and all that, and maybe, you know, the branding, and maybe some could actually ask some decent prices for advertising or something. But
yeah,
besides that, just a lot of stuff just needs to be rebuilt and reworked. So.
Well, I hope it happens.
We got some good music on today. I'm excited.
Yeah, so Tobin Sprout, he's the, many of you probably know, he's the longtime Guided by Voices member. And in the early days, you know, he was sort of, I almost think of him as sort of like the straight man to Bob Pollard. You know, his songs were always more like straight ahead, like folk songs, folk pop, whatever, rock pop. I guess they were still power pop. But, you know, and then, you know, in those early recordings, they were all kind of messed up in a cool way, of course. And he's done some solo stuff, and it's been pretty much power pop type stuff. But now he's got this new album, and it's completely, you'd call it, I think, an Americana album, right? Or it's a folky album. It's really different, but I think it's really good quality. Thus, I have nominated it for Will's Band of the Week. So,
it's really, like you said, it's kind of really Americana, or kind of like all country folk. But I really liked it a lot. It was a nice break, just because I haven't been listening to that type of music lately. So, it was a nice addition to the week, that's for sure.
Guided by Voices were formed in Ohio and based in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm not sure, like, the whole history of where Tobin Sprout has lived, but he's now, the last I heard, he was in Northwest Michigan, way up there. Like, not upper Michigan, wow. The part that's above Wisconsin, but the main part of Michigan, in a really small town called Leland. So so maybe that, I don't know if that influences his songwriting or whatever, but it's kind of, let's play a track and... then we'll talk about it some more. The album is called Empty Horses. I'm going to go with track 3, Breaking Down.
There's a road that's been building in my head for some time now, and I just can't shake it. And there's a place that keeps tugging at my soul, a gentle hand, but I just can't take it. I'm breaking down, breaking all the way, breaking down, breaking all. I keep searching for my words. I try to speak, but I just can't say it. And there's a face that keeps scrolling across my eyes. I know she's waiting, but I just can't see. I'm breaking down. Break it all away, breaking down, break it all away. Or so they say. Breaking
Tobin Sprout. Yeah.
That's such a good one. I know you took my first pick. You have good taste.
Well. I pride myself on stealing other people's picks. It's a good challenge, right?
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, that's a good one. Gosh, his voice almost sounded kind of like John Prine on that song. Like, not all the songs he sounds like that. Or it seems like his. I kept kind of identifying different other artists with his voice or his styles and different tracks on this album. But yeah, I really like that one. It's really nice. Just good Sunday afternoon song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And just with the, you know, the style and the simplicity of it, as I listened to it, I kept thinking, this is going to kind of fall apart because he won't be able to sustain the songwriting, and the songwriting itself is so vital when you have kind of a stripped down thing like this, but I think he pulled it off. It's pretty good throughout. So
yeah, I think it's pretty solid. Yeah.
Well, now you can make a pick, and maybe you can steal my second pick.
Yeah. So the I like the track number four, The Man I Used to Know. Track. I like it. I like the shimmery guitars on that, and yeah, just like you said, really stripped down, but just solid. Yeah, it holds together. I was just reading too about how Tobin Sprout had a band, Figure Four, before he was in Guided by Voices, or before Guided by Voices was a band, and then Pollard would come to their shows and actually asked to be a part of the band, and they declined.
That's great.
Ironically rejected him. And then they ended up coming full circle after a few more years. So yeah, that's kind of an interesting mix. Now you got this more kind of traditional style, and then Pollard's kind of wild, you know, psych rock, almost punky, influences. So
right,
that's, I think, one thing that made Guided by Voices so interesting. So it's going back and forth between the two, because I think also Tobin wrote some of the songs, right? Wasn't he kind of the second writer?
Yeah, he would get like a couple of songs on every album on the early stuff. Right. Maybe, I don't know if he ever got more than like three, but they made them good. You know, they fit in well with the whole aesthetic. So at some point I'm going to go back into the vault and talk about one or two of those old Guided by Voices albums, and we'll talk about the Tobin Sprout influence. So, here's another thing I was going to say. Why do you think it is that a tremolo guitar like that sounds like the desert Southwest. It does to me.
Right, doesn't it? That's what I know.
Right? And the album
That's
is...
what I wrote down in my notes. I'm like, kind of sounds like Neil Young or someone walking away from their life on a hot mirage desert scene.
Right, that's what it sounds like. You know,
like
and
the shimmery, like that, the heat waves coming off the asphalt, that kind of sound or something.
Yeah, and it's called mirage. Empty Horses, the album. So it's like you can picture a horse just kind of walking away in a dusty Southwest landscape. So
right,
yeah,
exactly.
you got the feel right on that song. All right, let's play another one. There's a pretty good poppy track that I thought was really good. That would be number 6, Every Sweet Soul.
All the time and days love takes in, I fear my own sights to see. Covered in hope and waving, everyone would wish you well. Every sweet soul's divine, so I'll keep on reminding. Everywhere you look, it's bound to happen, especially when you see that certain way she folds her hands. Bottle up your plans for me to understand. And on her way she goes again. Set upon a fence, she's waking. Find a distant stone to turn. Empty rooms may try to break you, but there's so many songs to sing. Every sweet soul's divine, so I'll keep on reminding.
Tobin Sprout.
Very nice. Yeah, that's another great track. A solid album. I enjoyed it. Thank you for introducing me to it.
Good. I'm glad you liked it. So, I mean, people have an idea after hearing that. If you're in the mood for that kind of thing, it's a really well done album. It surprised me in the sense that I guess I don't know why I would have low expectations, but you know, I've kind of been a fan of his for quite a while. But it just maybe just the way it started out being so stripped down, but it just surprised me at how well it all holds together. So there you go. Empty Horses.
Yep. Tobin Sprout. Go buy it, people.
Yep. And now I think we should talk about Yacht Club. In fact, we already did that. We recorded an interview with Ryan and Jeremiah. That was so cool that you put that together so quickly.
Yeah, that was so sweet that he got back to us and was on, and what seems like a really great person, and you know, multi talented and finishing school and on his fourth EP and some singles and yeah, so just check out Yacht Club, people. It's a good little fun kind of reverby woozy kind of lo-fi band it's just Ryan really, but. But just, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so I kept coming back to the first two EPs last year every once in a while. So yeah, that was just, yeah, so fun to have him on the show and give us a little insight on how he puts things together. And so yeah, that was really fun to have him on.
All right, we'll play the interview now. All right, this is great. We are here with another interview, thanks to Jeremiah. And we've got Ryan from Yacht Club here. Thanks.
Hey.
Thanks for doing this, Ryan. This is really cool.
Thank you all.
And before we started recording, I was just letting you know that Jeremiah introduced me to your band about 3 days ago. So I've just been listening to it for the first time. And so Jeremiah has been, I think, a fan for a while. So we're going to turn it over to him to conduct a hard-hitting journalistic interview.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, that's my specialty, is hard-hitting, yeah. But, yeah, Ryan, thank you so much, oh, my God, for coming on. And, yeah, I discovered your first two EPs last year. I think they were your first EPs. And they were, like, jockeying for top 10 of the year. But usually we just do albums. So I was like, oh, could I cheat and be, like, call two EPs an album?
Yeah, we've been known to cheat that way.
Yeah, I'm a big EP person. Because I like to sit and listen to stuff all in one sitting. But, you know, if you're just in the car going somewhere, or, you know, if you're just, like, taking a break at work or something like that, you know, you can't listen to, like, an hour and a half long album. The EPs are, like, a manageable, length of music for me. I can listen to the whole thing in its entirety, and it doesn't, like, take a chunk of my day out. I'm also kind of, like, easily distracted, you know, type person. So, like, I like EPs, and I can throw them out there quicker, so I can, like, you know, I don't feel like an artist as small as me can, like, make their listeners, like, wait 2 years for a project. That's kind of ridiculous. You kind of have to keep, like, putting content out. So EPs are good in that sense. And I want the sound to be, like, consistent from the first song to the last song with each project. So that might be kind of harder to do with, like, 10 to 15 songs. But in the future, there's definitely going to be a full project. My next release is going to be a full album. And I talked with the label that I'm working with right now, and they were like, so what about this next EP that you're doing? And I was like, oh, I guess it's going to be an EP then. But not a problem with me, because I can get it out there quicker.
Right. Well, you've been really prolific, right? Just in the last, I mean, the first ones came out, what, early 2019? So in the last year and a half, you've got three
EPs and a few
singles.
January of 2019. And then,
nice.
Yeah, that was Aquarium. And then I put out, like, two more EPs that year. I'm starting to lose track.
Right, yeah.
I'm, like, tattooed on my arm or something, because I forget my own songs. And people are, like, messaging me about playing live and stuff. And I'm like, well, shit, I have to learn these songs again, because I don't remember how to play them, because it's, you know, quarantine and all. But
right, exactly. But yeah. Do you play all the instruments on the albums?
Or? Yeah, I do all the instruments. There's, like, people refer to it as a band, which I'm fine with. You know, if people, like, imagine it being a band, that's cool. But it's really just me.
Nice. Well, it really comes together. Like, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you're doing all of this. So. I just really enjoyed everything so far, and just can't wait for new stuff to come out. How are you doing in the pandemic and everything? You hanging in there?
I'm doing good. I'm, like, at the tail end of school. I don't want to jinx myself. I'm supposed to finish school this semester. So I'm, like, getting close to graduating. It's been a good bit of time, you know, focusing on that, 'cause I don't want to fuck that up. So let's see. I'm not working right now. I did work last year, and then music is kind of taking main focus, I guess. I probably shouldn't be working. I don't think I have the following to be a person with no job, but I am, and it is what it is.
Well, this seems like it's turning into a job, right? Which hopefully that's the case.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm hoping it'll leverage into a job.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
You know, I could work at, like, Jimmy John's, but I would rather just, like, work on music and maybe leverage that into a cooler job in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
What's, like, your songwriting process? Do you kind of start with, like, guitar or like, keys or something?
Yeah, I usually start with
lyrics?
Guitar.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I most of the time start with the guitar, because that was, like, my first instrument that I learned when I was 8. And it comes the most natural to me. So I'll write a lot of, like, I'll usually write a guitar riff first. And then the next thing that'll come to my head will be, like, a bass line or some drums. So I make, like, a really, like, dumbed down, like, simple version of the song first. I guess I'm not the first person to do this. That's, like, what a fucking demo is. So I make, like, a demo of it. And then I kind of just, like, delete drums, add better drums, delete the bass, add better bass. And then I'll eventually have a song. And as far as, like, the lyrics go, I always create the instrumental first, kind of like a rapper would. And then from there, I kind of just write what it sounds like the song is saying, what it sounds like the guitar is, like, saying. Because, like, songs, like, sound like they're about something, you know. A sad song sounds sad. a happy song usually sounds happy. So I usually just kind of write down what it sounds like the song is saying.
That's so cool. Yeah, like there's such a great like guitar jam in the Bay, that new single you have. And so that's you then.
Oh, yeah, it's all me.
Nice.
I'm trying to get more, put some more like guitar-centered stuff out there because I got kind of carried away with the synths on the first couple ones, I think.
No, I liked it. I liked that. It was, I really enjoyed the first two EPs. Well, you have like one of the artwork on what is it? Bleach Beach, I think, has a surfer, and then you have kind of,
yeah.
And then maybe Out Fly Out West as well. What's the references to surfing?
I mean, at the time I was making the first EP, I was living in a house like by a lake, not a beach, but a lake. And so I would just like go on walks and listen to music, and you know, you hear like birds and nature noises outside of the headphones kind of combining with the music, and it kind of like added to it. It made some songs sound cooler, and I thought it'd be like a cool aesthetic as an artist to kind of tie in like nature and music, you know, put the noises there in the music intentionally.
Nice.
But yeah, I was living like in this area by a lake, and it was like a pretty area, and I would go for like a walk with my dog or whatever, listening to music and like looking around at the lake and the boats, all that shit. And then I would get home and kind of sometimes feel like making, you know, recording something, and that would be like fresh on my mind. So I guess it kind of like started on the first songs, and then people kind of liked it, so I just kept with that aesthetic, and it's kind of like solidified over time.
Nice. Yeah, you have some different nature sounds on different songs that I've heard. It's really kind of a fun little adding to the song.
That's a good, you know, angle for the music. I feel like there's a lot of artists that just like make songs, which is cool, but kind of have to make songs at a certain distinct angle to, you know, for people to tell them apart from other artists. So hopefully that's what I hope I'm doing, but
nice. Yeah,
I think we should play a track, right, so people can hear some
yeah.
of this, and then we'll have some more discussion. So the newest EP is called Nature Machine, and Ryan, mm-hmm. do you have a track you'd like to highlight?
Let's see. Let me go back. That starts with the Go Away. I like Mardi Gras. That's my favorite one on that EP. I wanted that one to be a single originally.
All right, let's play that one, Mardi Gras. That's Yacht Club from the Nature Machine EP, and we're talking with Ryan, a.k.a.
What's up?
Yacht Club.
Yes. AKA calamari algorithm.
Right. Yeah, that's your, like, isn't that Instagram or something?
I think it sounds really good for a home produced recording. So you must have had some you must have some experience with that.
Well, yeah, I have experience, but it's like my own experience. I've never like worked at a studio or like had anyone show me how to use like a compressor or an equalizer or how to, you know, do all the post editing shit. That's just kind of like me tinkering around on GarageBand since I was like 15. I started recording stuff when I was like 15, and then just kind of like mixed it by ear. I didn't really know what I was doing. Sometimes I'd look at YouTube videos up, but most of those videos are like annoying as hell. I'd rather just like figure it out on my own. But I don't work with any good gear. It's all like pretty shitty. It's like this hand-me-down Focusrite Scarlett audio interface. It's the one that everyone has. It's like the red one that says Focusrite on it. And just like a real cheap MIDI keyboard. But if you tinker around with it long enough, it'll sound listenable.
Well, you must have a pretty good ear for it, because I think you know, you're underselling how hard it is to make something sound really good. Because a lot of things can go wrong, right? I mean, if you're not mixing with the right speakers or headphones, then the whole EQ can get screwed up or whatever. And this sounds really, really balanced.
Yeah, I like mixing with like a shitty pair of headphones, because then if you make it sound good, it's like, well, this sounds good in a really shitty pair of headphones. Like, this is definitely going to sound good in a nice sound system. Or, like, I'll play a song over my phone and make sure it, like, sounds good over phone speakers, because I know there's going to be, like, assholes out there playing my music over phone speakers, and I don't want to see them like shit.
Right. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, one thing
I usually do, like, a mix check. I'll, like, check the shitty headphones. I'll check some Apple headphones. I'll check, like, in my car. And if it checks out in every place, I'm like, all right, it's ready to go.
That's a good method, probably. So the
yeah, because Apple headphones are shit, and a lot of people use them. So you got to do the Apple check.
I think they've improved. Like, the original ones were pretty bad, and then they've gotten incrementally better.
They're bass boosted. It's like they know that people like bass, and they're like, "All right, motherfuckers, you like bass," but it doesn't do well for music like mine.
Well, I've definitely found that with those, anything that's beats, right? They're always like ridiculous bass.
Oh my god,
bass heavy.
I remember when I was like 13 getting in a fight with my parents because I wanted beats. And my dad, my dad's like really over the top. He started like messaging a professor that teaches like audio engineering at this university in our area. And he was like, "Which headphones do you recommend for mixing and mastering? My son wants beats by Dre." And the professor was like, "Oh, well, the Synthpals are like, you know, given like all these like different headphones." And so I ended up getting my beats. I think I had to like get a job or something, but and they suck, dude. They broke, like they snapped in half, like after like a year of having them. But anyway,
So
well, don't spend your money on beads, people.
No,
spend your money
not.
At Yacht Club's Bandcamp page, right? That's
there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Custom Yacht Club beats by Dre are coming soon. $500, and they sound like shit, and they can only play my music.
So the little bit of research I've been able to do was I found your Bandcamp page for this EP,
I have a Bandcamp?
Yes,
that
you
might
do.
Be someone else.
It's your label, the Nice Guys from Bordeaux, France.
Oh, Nice Guys. Yeah. They operate like via Bandcamp. They're big Bandcamp.
So it's up there on the French label's Bandcamp, and then you know, you have to read down, and it says, you know, that you're from Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yeah, that's where I live now. I'm from Jackson, which is, I mean, like 2 hours north. But I'm living in Hattiesburg for school right now.
That's great, yeah. Well, it's cool that you're finishing up, right? So then you'll have more time for music.
I'm ready to be done. Move on to other shit.
My God. Are you guys having to do online stuff, or are you actually in person, or how's that working out?
Do what?
Oh, is it in
like
person?
Hybrid. They're calling it hybrid. We go in person, and we're all wearing like fucking stormtrooper face shields and face masks, and we have to sit like super far from the teacher. I have one teacher that's like an anti-masker, so she's like not wearing a mask, and everyone else is like wearing these face shields.
Oh, no.
And so it's funny. Most of the work's online though.
Right. Gosh, what a year, huh?
That's crazy. What
do you think that the pandemic will, what do you think the impact of the pandemic will have on the music industry?
I mean, it's definitely had it's shifted towards digital. You know, everyone's trying to make their money digitally or through merch. Mm-hmm. But merch is even weird because usually merch is to promote a tour, and no one's promoting a tour. And it's funny, bands are like putting out their 2021 like tours, like, you know, 40 city tours that someone's like working their ass off to arrange all that. And it's like, what makes y'all think that's gonna happen? Like, I like the optimism, but
we were talking about that. We were talking about that on a recent podcast, and I was saying that I think they're probably doing it because you want to strike while your popularity is there and set everything up, and then you can always cancel later. Like the band we like is Fontaine's DC, and they've set up a huge tour. It's, you know, insane. Sold out some of the dates.
Of money to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, right. Well, who knows if it'll happen, but people are hopeful, I guess. Yeah. Well, we should play.
They're trying to do these like drive-in shows, and they're trying to like find ways to make it work. So I'm hoping there'll be a cure to Corona. But I mean, if that's not going to happen, I'm hoping they'll find a way to like make shows work. Because right now, you know, I get every so often like a tour like manager or like a promoter, like a show promoter, will email me, and they just sound so sad. They're like, I know things aren't going too well right now, but if everything goes back to normal, like, I really hope you want to set up a tour. Sad.
Gosh,
It's
tough. That's what they're doing here in town, is these drive-in shows. So it's like the cars.
Where,
you can like
where y'all
have
at,
your car pod. Are they doing those drive-in shows there? That's what they're kind of trying to do here.
We're in Mississippi, so we're like 2 months late to everything. So they'll start doing it probably in like 2 months.
Right.
No.
Extreme.
We're not. I've seen it on Instagram and stuff. I know bands are doing it, but we're probably not gonna, you know, anything cool or like fun. It's not gonna hit Mississippi until it's like hack in other places.
Well, you should work for the tourism department.
Jeremiah's in Santa Fe, and I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. So we're covering some ground. Here in Madison, there's been very little live music. All the indoor venues, of course, have closed temporarily. And I did encounter a band playing in a parking lot a couple days ago. It was kind of it's been so long since I've seen live music that it was kind of cool. It's like, hey, there's a band playing, and there were chairs set up, and they were all really spaced apart, you know. So it was
crazy
weird
here, but we still have like, I mean, we're not having like bands go on tour here, but if you go to like a restaurant, there's always like a band playing. Like, we got live music everywhere. And if you go to a bar, like, our mask rules are so fucked up. Like, you have to have a mask to like get into the bar. And then once you're in, it's just like a fucking free for all. Like, you can throw your mask in the garbage. Like,
oh, no.
It's like the ticket to get into the bar. Literally, you just like show your mask and like you're in.
Oh yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
It's well. Yeah.
Man.
Well, hopefully, we can get through this and we can get back to some live, you know, more widespread live music, because that's definitely a big part of our lives on the podcast, and we're muddling through it, and I'm sure all the bands too, because it's just so hard to make money on you know, digital music. It seems like, you know, like it's so low. There's so many ways to get it so cheaply that it just doesn't seem like it's viable to make money for the bands that way. But
It's bullshit. I think that Spotify should pay like $1 per stream. You heard it here first.
Right?
I'm promoting it right now.
That's right.
Exactly.
Put it out there.
Yeah, and then that'll encourage people to actually pay to download it or something. You know, pay $5 or $10 or whatever you set the price at, you know, like on Bandcamp. But
that's unrealistic. I'm just joking. But people hate on Spotify so much because of the amount that they pay artists, but it's like the same as other streaming services. And Spotify... Yeah. I will give them props because they like make it really fucking easy. If you're like an independent artist with no team and no label, like nothing, like their algorithm, the way that they work, like they'll promote your music for you. which I hate promoting my music. It's really corny. So it's nice that there's like an algorithm that'll like recommend it to people, like without me having to say shit. So I'll say 0.09 cents is a pretty bad payment for stream, but they do a lot to help you get streams. So
right,
shout out to Spotify for that, I guess.
Yep.
There you go.
At least you can get the music up there. Yeah. Let's play some more music. Jeremiah, do you have a favorite?
Oh, gosh. Well, I love a lot of the old stuff, too. Let's see. Gosh, I really like the new single, Fly Out West.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Let's try that.
Yeah, good one. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Yeah, I was like probably dropped that like around this time last year.
Nice, that's great. Yeah, it's a little more kind of driving, kind of like that your song Japan. What has that kind of like?
Yeah. It was. Well, it's on the same project.
Oh, cool.
It's on the same project as Japan. It's actually on Spotify twice because I'm dumb as fuck, and I put it out as a single, and then I also put it out on the EP, and I didn't know that you can like interlock to those to where your streams are all like on one song. So yeah, it's on there twice, but it's whatever.
I like it. No, it's great. It's interesting because it's you know, you have those kind of more kind of up-tempo kind of driving tunes, and then other ones like Go Away that are like more kind of languid and almost like,
yeah,
I don't know how to describe it, like slacker sounding or something, kind of like lo-fi.
Yeah
it's cool.
Yeah, I try to use the same instruments on it, you know, each project. Like if I use like a Fender Stratocaster on a song, you know, on the first song of an EP, it's going to be on every other song. So I was using a lot of acoustic guitar in the most recent one, like acoustic guitar with like a little chorus on it. And that was kind of like a reoccurring theme, I guess, throughout that EP.
Yeah. Like on the new one, like that, on that Go Away song, it's, you know, you have kind of an electric guitar, it sounds like, in the back, and then like an acoustic overlaid, you know, so both of them are kind of playing at the same time, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it's not really something that I like decide ahead of time. Like a lot of it is just based on like what shit is broken and what shit's working at the time. Like I got one guitar that's like missing strings, so it's like, well, I'm not gonna record on that, and then I'm gonna start record on another guitar, and then it ends up sounding good. So it's like, well, now I want to make more songs like this. So that's kind of how like the aesthetic gets chosen for most projects for me. Is it's like what shit is working right now.
You could record with you could record with the guitar that has the broken strings, but then it'd be harder to reproduce it later, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There was a band one time.
We all have an idea, but it's like, well, I need strings for that idea to work.
I remember a few years ago reading about a band that used a two-string bass guitar, like only the two middle strings. And that's just how they played it.
Yeah, like, I mean, you could get away with it.
Yeah, just like really minimalist. Right. Well, I have a song to play on the Nature Machine EP. I really like the last track. It's got kind of a catchy riff. Let's play that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that a Game Over?
Yep. It's Yacht Club.
Game Over. Yeah, that's a great track. Yeah. It's wrapping
up the EP. I think statistically, that's like the least popular song I have, which is
really
bullshit because it's good.
Yeah, I totally agree. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you look at the number of plays, though, it's just it just decreases as it goes on, right? Because there's some people that won't listen to the whole thing, right? So they drop off after track three or four. That's what I've seen before.
And I started thinking about that strategically. Is like, do I need to put the songs that I want people to hear the most at the beginning? But at the end of the day, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to like strategically play songs where they're going to get the most plays. That's fucking lame. I'm going
right.
to like, put them the way that it works best aesthetically, I guess. But it's just a shitty consequence of a song being last, I guess.
Yeah,
it's the least attention. But you'll get weird bumps. Like it did get added to like a Spotify playlist, so for a little bit it was doing good, but it got the boot.
It was on there for a while, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
good ride while it lasted.
Well, thanks for talking to us, Ryan. Obviously, Jeremiah's been a fan for a lot longer, but I am very impressed and really like it. So we'll be following you from this point.
Well, there's more stuff to come. I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan, for coming on. I appreciate it so much. And keep up the good work and the awesome music. And this is going out to all the millions of Will's Band of the Week followers. Go out and buy some Yacht Club merch and download some music on Bandcamp and support these great artists.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks, y'all. Y'all have a good one.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Okay, take care.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, that was cool. Thanks again to Ryan for taking the time to talk to us, and thanks Jeremiah for getting it all together. It's kind of cool, right? Sometimes the indie rockers respond and they're willing to talk to us. They probably just
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, yeah, Ryan, he's a cool guy. Yeah, it's super down to earth and just really open about his process and stuff. So that was fun to have him on. Yep. Go buy his music, people.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Do it. All right. Well, we've got one more. Something I've been listening to for a couple weeks now, I thought was podcast worthy, and you were willing to join in. So this is a thing called, I'm going to say it's pronounced Tebow. I think it's probably pronounced Tebow, partly because the title of the album is Or Not Tebow, right? Which would be like a play on To Be or Not To Be.
Right. Yeah.
So I think I've got
that. I was like, is it Thebalt?
No, yeah, it's spelled Thebalt. We're going to play the game where we play some music, and we won't tell the listeners anything about this, like what it sounds like, where they're from, or anything. All right? Clean slate, right? So let's play a song, and then we'll talk some more. Let's go with... let's start with number two, Center Link.
Trying not to tear apart my local center link. Tears come flowing anyway, no matter what I think. We've all been there, some may not, some may never will. Something dies inside of you that will never heal.
Tebow from the album Or Not Tebow. So,
yeah, so what that is like, that's some like wild Baroque sounding like pop instrumental stuff. What is that?
Yeah, so one comparison I've read that seems pretty good is Stereolab.
Mm.
So it's a woman named Nicole Tebow, and she's an indie rock veteran. Had a band in the 90s called Minimum Chips, which I was not familiar with. And she took time off in the late zeros, it says here, to raise a family. I'm reading from the Bandcamp page. Recently returned to music with the support of a new generation of, get ready, Melbourne pop kids.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, so... presumably, I haven't talked to Nicholas about this, but it would be completely appropriate for her to be stopping by the backyard, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're friends. I'm sure they're having probably a socially distanced barbecue this afternoon, maybe.
Right, that would make sense. This was produced by a guy named James Cecil, who has also produced the Goonsacks and Architecture in Helsinki. Remember that band? Did you ever listen to them? They were cool.
I liked them.
Yeah. And it says that they have opened for Stereolab, Pavement, Bikini Kill, and Le Tigre. So yeah, pretty fun thing, I think. Did you get a chance
to back around? Right, took a little break and raised a family probably, and then came back around. So this is just what a interesting turn. I don't know what I should have looked into minimum chips and seen.
I should have too. Yeah,
they call it a motoric pop band. So I don't know what motoric is, but this maybe I don't know if that's like a slightly edgy pop band, I guess. But yeah, it goes back and forth, some really kind of straightforward, just driving kind of pop rock songs to like the one you played with, what is that, melodica or harmonium or something? Not harmonium, but melodica or something on there.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
And the kind of unexpected arrangements and kind of, it's interesting. Some of it almost sounds kind of like, some of the songs sound almost kind of like could be from like the Middle Ages mixed with like more contemporary, or like a minstrel show or something mixed with more traditional or rock song, so.
Yeah, the horn solo was in that song was cool, I thought.
Right, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, do you have a pick?
Yeah, I like number 3, Drama.
Tebow, and another catchy one. I support that pick.
Yeah, isn't that wild how it's like, what was the, it's kind of like floating along with the organ at first, and then the melodica, I guess. I don't know what else it would be, but it sounded like that kind of, do you know the melodica, that kind of wind instrument that's digital, that has like a little keyboard? It's
it
and it has a keyboard, right?
Okay, like,
Like how I learned about it was through reggae music with Augustus Pablo. He used to play that. But it almost sounds like that. Like, what else could it be? I mean, maybe it's just keyboard made to sound that way or something. It's so fun just to find new, like, unique kind of mixtures and textures of sounds and people with, new takes on things. And with just her decades of experience, it just seems like she's, stretching and trying new things. So it's cool.
There's super some fun. like you already touched on this, I think there's a variety of some of the stuff's kind of playful and almost goofy, right, with all kinds of instrumentation, and then there are parts that are almost like kind of dream poppy, and of course those are the ones I like a lot. I like the whole thing, but So I'll pick another one, which is more of the kind of the dream poppy style. Am I pronouncing this right? It's a Greek spinach pie, spanakopita.
yeah, spanakopita is good stuff.
Track 9. I think she pronounced it spanakopita.
Right.
That's what it sounded like.
yeah, good stuff. Yeah, spanakopita is good stuff. That's what my daughter would always order that at Mediterranean restaurants. So, and it actually has vegetables in it. So that's good for kids, right?
Yeah, if your kid likes something with
spinach.
You gotta take advantage of that whenever your kid likes something healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was fun tune, yeah, just with the organs and just kind of dancing along there.
Right, right. So it's kind of funny in the, again, I always like reading the Bandcamp descriptions. The tags on Bandcamp are alternative, elevator music, lounge, Melbourne. So, you know, there's a little bit of a lounge kind of sound to some of this, right?
Yeah, that's true. Like that's a good way to put it.
I think in a cool way.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, there you go.
I don't know about elevator music, but definitely kind of some cool lounge music could fit in there. So.
The elevator music part was probably a self-deprecating joke, right?
Right.
I think bands have figured that out.
Good sense of humor.
You got to throw in some, wacky references in the Bandcamp tags. It's a thing.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well,
I got to get with it.
Are we up to $0? Or even beyond?
I think this year or this week we're probably at, I would say at least over 30 cents. Probably more like last week you were at like 48 cents or something, right? So,
yeah.
Or a couple weeks ago. So we've got to, maybe we can try to top that. Maybe we're at like 52 cents, especially with an interview. That was cool.
Yeah. The interview probably pushed it over 50 cents, I think, in value.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So people better at least go to, donate those 50 cents, every listener, to one of the artists on the show this week. But yeah, thanks. That was fun. With some good tunes, new stuff.
Right, right.
But, one we didn't even get to. So we just have more in the hopper for next week, the week after, plus tons of new music coming out. So,
right.
It's still, there's still music happening. So thank goodness, even though the live stuff isn't yet much, but keep enjoying the music, people, and support those artists.
You know, one thing Ryan mentioned in the interview is how he likes the EP format because it's just enough that he thinks that, it's for him a balance of, you know, the right attention span, basically. You know, put up, you know, five or six songs, 15 or 20 minutes, whatever, right? And I was just going to say, two of the recent releases that have come out that we've been listening to are an hour and 20 minutes long. So it's like,
right.
Okay,
oh, gosh.
I mean,
yeah,
if I'm gonna do justice to this thing, it's going to take a while, you know?
Exactly. No, Ryan had a good point. That's really interesting. Just to like, oh, here's 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, five songs, digestible, kind of get, especially if the artist is trying to make, you know, have some kind of like a theme or a flow, you know, that they kind of relate to each other in a bit. So, yeah. I'm actually like kind of leaning, I'm seeing his point of view and leaning that direction, because it is nice to just have something that's like conceptually adhered, you know, but in a 20 minute space instead of an hour and a half. So,
right. Everybody has their own, probably, you know, sweet spot of music length they prefer. I think my sweet spot is about 35 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a short album.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like the Tebow album is 13 tracks and, 43 minutes, so it's a little long, but, you know, spread out over 13 tracks, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that's a good length.
And the Tobin Sprout album is 10 songs and a little over 30 minutes. So I that shouldn't be the main criterion for, like, whether you like something, but they're a good length, I think.
Yeah, so, it seems like a lot of young people are coming out with more EPs, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, new artists and young artists, so... I'm always continually amazed by all this young, amazingly talented, you know, young adults. It's amazing. Under 30 people. It's like, wow, they're so prolific and also, you know, just talented and creative. And so that gives me hope. Hope for the future. Smart, creative.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Well, by the way, we should thank everybody. We had three people give the code phrase from last week's podcast, which was Orange Amplifier, and they were rewarded very handsomely with download codes from Jason and his label, which is Painted Blonde. Check out Painted Blonde, Painted Blonde Records, and also Jason's band. You got to at least have your own band on your own label, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, that's, you would hope so.
And that's Red Pants, so people check that out. All right.
Yeah, support Jason's music. That's great stuff, too, as well.
Yep.
Do we have a code for this week? Well, what do you think? We're toward the end. Did people stick with us?
Yeah, we can't do a code every week, because then we have an obligation to actually send things out to people.
We'll save it for next week.
yeah. We'll save a code for next week.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Jeremiah. I guess
thank
we'll
you.
Sign
you
off.
Have a great week, and thanks everyone for listening and for to the artists, and appreciate it.
We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.